is Goldberry. She's Tom Bombadil's wife, but so much more than just that. Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive in nerdy detail into The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and more. Welcome. Goldberry appears only briefly in The Lord of the Rings, the wife waiting in Tom Bombadil's home, welcoming the hobbits in with warmth and hospitality. Once they leave Bombadil's company, Bombadil himself is mentioned and thought about several times, but not Goldberry. She doesn't get another mention for the rest of the book, or indeed in much of the wider legendarium. She is therefore mostly thought of within the fandom in that context, in relation to her husband, who is definitely a fascinating mystery in his own right. She is his wife and shares in the good life with him. It's also clear that he gets great joy from her and talks several times of wanting to be home with her, not apart, and seems to spend a good portion of his time seeking out ways to make her happy, bringing her water lilies and other gifts. It's a heartwarming relationship, and definitely a good place to start understanding Goldberry. She is Tom Bombadil's wife, and they love each other. But doesn't she deserve to be treated as her own person as well, not just in relation to her husband? Of course. So, who actually is Goldberry? We hear Goldberry before we see her. Tom Bombadil takes the hobbits to his home, singing as usual, at which point we read this. Then another clear voice, as young and as ancient as spring, like the song of a glad water flowing down into the night from a bright morning in the hills, came falling like silver to meet them. Now let the song begin. Let us sing together of sun, stars, moon and mist, rain and cloudy weather. Light on the budding leaf, dew on the feather, wind on the open hill, bells on the heather. Reeds by the shady pool, lilies on the water, old Tom Bombadil and the river daughter. And with that song, the hobbits stood upon the threshold, and a golden light was all about them. When they enter, they see her, and this is the description we get. In a chair, at the far side of the room, facing the outer door, sat a woman. Her long yellow hair rippled down her shoulders. Her gown was green, green as young reeds, shot with silver like beads of dew, and her belt was of gold, shaped like a chain of flag lilies, set with the pale blue eyes of forget-me-nots. About her feet, in wide vessels of green and brown earthenware, white water lilies were floating, so that she seemed to be enthroned in the midst of a pool. "Enter, good guests," she said. You don't need to be a professor of literature to spot the imagery here. Her voice was like a song of glad water, the repeated water lilies references, her hair rippling down her shoulders, the beads of dew, her appearing enthroned in the midst of a pool. She is the river daughter, a water spirit, which technically makes her a being created by Eru from the flame imperishable, not needing to inhabit a corporeal body, but able to. Tolkien doesn't give us a full taxonomy of these spiritual beings, and seemingly shifted his position on it several times, but it appears that many were associated with different elements and different Valar. An example perhaps here are the Great Eagles, obviously associated with the element of air, and Manwë himself. The Balrogs, in at least one of their conceptions, were obviously spirits associated with fire, and Goldberry, therefore, is a spirit associated with water, perhaps the Valar Ulmo. As I said, Tolkien didn't explain this in any detail, but the thematic link to the water nymphs and sprites and spirits of many mythologies is clear. So it is perhaps only right that the first time Tolkien writes about her is in a poem, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, which was published in 1934, before even The Hobbit. Tom Bombadil goes for a walk, encountering various peoples and beings along the way. First is Goldberry, the river woman's daughter, who playfully pulls his beard and drags him into the river Withywindle. There follow encounters with Old Man Willow, various animals and a Barrow-wight, all of whom Tom instructs to go away or let him go, and they do. At the end of it all, he decides to marry Goldberry, and the poem goes, "Old Tom Bombadil had a merry wedding, crowned all with buttercups, hat and feather shedding. His bride with forget-me-nots and flag lilies for garland was robed all in silver green. He sang like a starling." hummed like a honeybee, lilted to the fiddle, clasping his river maid around her slender middle. And the pair of them seemed very happy together. So one rather straightforward answer is that Gulbrae is a water spirit, perhaps specific to the Withywindle, that river that wends its way through the Old Forest, a character invented well before the Lord of the Rings and kept in there as an important part of who Tom Bombadil is. And as we know, Tolkien thought it very important that Tom Bombadil was included as a comment or thematically important character, if not important for the plot. This is certainly reflected in the ongoing water and river references whenever she is around, like this, for example. As they looked out of the window, they being the hobbits, there came falling gently as if it were flowing down the rain out of the sky, the clear voice of Gulbrae singing above them. They could hear few words, but it seemed plain to them that the song was a rain song, as sweet as showers on dry hills, that told the tale of a river from the spring in the highlands to the sea far below. She is singing the story of the river. But I think there is another level here as well, which comes in Tolkien's letter 210 to Forrest J. Ackerman from 1958, a few years after The Lord of the Rings had been published and was a massive success. The context here is that Tolkien has received a script proposal for a Lord of the Rings film written by Morden Grady Zimmerman, and he wrote back with comments. It's fair to say that Tolkien didn't like the draft. Indeed, he wrote that his magnum opus was treated, as it would seem, carelessly in general, in places recklessly, and with no evident signs of any appreciation of what it is all about. Strong words. And he goes into detail on a number of points in his reply. Of interest to us here is a point he makes about Gulbrae. I am sorry, but I think the manner of the introduction of Gulbrae is silly. It also has no warrant in my tale. We are not in fairyland, but in real riverlands in autumn. Gulbrae represents the actual seasonal changes in such lands. Personally, I think she had far better disappear than make a meaningless appearance. This adds to our understanding of Gulbrae. She isn't just a representative of the river, but something more. She represents the changing of the seasons in Middle-earth, the rhythm of nature, which is, of course, why she is so often shown to be singing or dancing, a reflection of that rhythm. The link between the river and the seasons was perhaps self-evident to Tolkien, but may warrant a small digression for modern readers. We know that Tolkien's early childhood was spent close to a watermill, Serhole Mill, that along with the surrounding countryside provided much of the inspiration for his bucolic shire. Slightly less well known is the area of woodland behind his childhood home that he said provided the inspiration for the Old Forest where Tom Bombadil lived. It has a stream or small river running through it that children still play in today. And in order to get to the closest village to get food or other provisions, he would have had to wade across a ford in the River Cole, which ran past the watermill. These rivers were as much a part of his childhood and impression of the Shire as the mill was. He saw them, played in them, or crossed them every day, and like every river, they ebbed and flowed with the seasons, sometimes strong and deep, sometimes slow and shallow. It was an intrinsic part of the natural world that he loved so much. Tom Bombadil is in many ways an expression somehow of the land itself and being, not doing, enjoying life for what it is, living in the moment. But life does not exist in static form. It moves and changes and ebbs and flows like a river, season to season. This is poetry, a recognition of the importance of the changing nature of the earth, not just being in the moment. To be in tune with nature means going with the flow of the river and the seasons. Tolkien wants us to understand that feeling, not like we're reading an academic textbook with a clear answer, but to see, hear and feel it, to feel the connection between these two things, the permanence and joy of Bombadil and the rhythm and beauty of Gulbrae. And he shows us this in what I consider to be one of the most underrated parts of the narrative. We have been introduced to these two wonderful characters. Then we see them working together as they get the table ready for dinner with the hobbits. Then Tom and Gulbrae set the table, and the hobbits sat half in wonder and half in laughter. So fair was the grace of Goldberry, and so merry and odd the caperings of Tom, yet in some fashion they seemed to weave a single dance, neither hindering the other, in and out of the room and around about the table, and with great speed food and vessels and lights were set in order. Goldberry, like Tom, is an enigma, and not something we are supposed to have an academic answer to. What Tolkien said about Bombadil surely applies to her too. Tom Bombadil is not an important person to the narrative. I suppose he has some importance as a comment. I mean, I do not really write like that. He is just an invention, and he represents something that I feel important, though I would not be prepared to analyse the feeling precisely. Tolkien goes on to talk about how Tom takes delight in things for their own sake, living in the moment, as we might say. I think Goldberry shows us the other half of this good life equation, because nature does not allow you to just sit and enjoy the good things. It has a rhythm, a time of year for collecting water lilies, for visiting certain places or not visiting them, a day for washing, a time for feasting and for sleeping and for resting and for going on adventures. Tom and Goldberry dance their two dances that really are just one dance together. Which is why, I suspect, Tolkien would rather she didn't appear at all in that ill-fated screenplay than take on a different role or just be a wife figure for Tom Bombadil. She is every bit as important as Tom Bombadil in her own right. We can't understand Tom without understanding her, and vice versa. But perhaps in our rushed, air-conditioned, sanitised world, where we have cut ourselves off from so much of the rising and the falling of the river through the seasons, she is missing even more than Tom. I suspect Tolkien would have us return to those rivers of his childhood every now and then, just to be and enjoy and to experience the rhythm of the river and the changing of the seasons. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.